What are some of the strategies that each of you use in getting your patients to target? Dr. Apovian, you mentioned that there was sort of a learning curve for you in first addressing the issue of obesity. What strategies can you share with other physicians?
When you look at strategies, we have a good body of data called the Weight Loss Registry data that has been published now. These are patients who have lost at least 50 pounds and have kept it off for at least 5 years. And that data has been published. We know that there are certain commonalities, and those commonalities I impart to my patients. So one of the first things that these patients do is that they know what they're eating. They're aware of their calorie intake. They're aware of what they're eating. Somehow they know what they're eating. Either they write it down, or in their head they're counting their calories. So that's number one. Number two is that they're on a low-calorie, low-fat diet. On average, about 1,200 to 1,500 calories per day. On average, a little bit more for men, maybe up to 1,800 for the men. But again, most of these patients are women, so it's really 1,200 to 1,500 calories. The other thing that they do, almost all of them are exercising at least 150 minutes per week. That may sound like a lot, but it ends up being about 30 minutes of moderate walking 5 days a week. And so that's very doable, but it again requires a commitment. The other thing that they do most often is they eat breakfast. And what does that give you? That gives you structure around your eating. So if you start the morning by eating breakfast, no matter what time it is, you have a plan in place. You're not starving breakfast, lunch, and then eating everything in sight for dinner. And again, that makes you more aware of what you're eating as well. So these are some of the strategies that I use with my patients.
I think without dealing with the lifestyle issues, you're going to have a much harder time. I have patients who come into my office and they'll stick their hands like this and say, "This is how many pills I take every morning. Is there something I can get rid of now?" And that's a point at which I want to bring up the fact that there are other ways besides medicines that you can embrace lifestyle and own it. And by doing so, you can dramatically improve your chances of seeing a better effect of your medicine and potentially even being on lesser doses or lesser amounts of medicine. I think it's important to recognize that you have to take a somewhat systematic approach. You have to, as Carolyn said, assess when people are ready to change. And when they are, you start slow and you kind of gradually progress. We use an acronym called FIRM, F-I-R-M, in our practice. And that stands for few changes being made. So we make a rule, generally we try to get no more than three changes that somebody will start. We individualize them, that's the I, and that means that the patient themselves, they have to pick. You don't write from your book of your life and tell them what to do. You have them pick from their life what's going to work for them. You have to be realistic. Many people, if they've had a scare, they've had a heart event, or they have diabetes, may want to do everything all at once, but it's too overwhelming to do that. You try to set them up for success by setting modest goals that they will almost certainly achieve. And finally, you have to monitor these results, because if you're not tracking them, you really don't know what's going on.
Right, right. So getting that weight down with therapeutic lifestyle changes, a better diet, physical activity, and then looking at each component of the metabolic syndrome. Blood pressure. Did we see a decrease in blood pressure? If not, let's talk about a medication. Dyslipidemia. Did we increase your HDL with exercise? Did we lower your triglycerides with diet and exercise? If not, think about a medication. Fasting blood sugar. If it's over 100, we have prediabetes. It's not 110 anymore, it's 100. Anything below 100 is normal. Anything above 100 is prediabetes, and we diagnose diabetes at a blood sugar of 126 or higher. And we look at the waist circumference. We look at blood pressure, triglycerides, HDL, blood sugar. We need to look at those components after we've tried therapeutic lifestyle changes.
We use the strategies you've already heard about, but in addition, we use some more medicalized strategies. And what I mean by that is we look at the patient's overall medical condition and see if there are things there that we can treat that will help them to have a better outcome. There are a number of approaches like that that we've put together, and right now there are support networks developing for the patient with cardiometabolic risk that will help them to do a lot better. These fall into the disease management category.
And Dr. McCall, could you enhance us a little bit there about disease management in particular?
Well, there are several different kinds of strategies that are emerging. One is to provide non-physician support, working in teams. Pharmacist-led management studies have, for example, been used and show that you can improve achievement of goals. This is a kind of case management strategy. There are emerging some web-based strategies for patients to log in their information or providers to have their approaches surveyed to give them feedback. And I think that these are promising ways of the future. I think the team-based approach actually makes a great deal of sense.
And don't forget our dietitians. Many physicians have access to one or two dietitians in their area that can be a tremendous support for patients who are making lifestyle changes, particularly in the form of diet changes, but also physical activity.
As we've discussed, management of the cardiometabolic risk factors is challenging. We met one of Dr. Apovian's patients, Maureen, from Reading, Massachusetts, who's developed a strategy for success.
The most important reason to take care of your body is that you only get one. A year ago, I was 225 pounds. I would get winded if I was going up three or four flights of stairs. When I was at my heaviest, I wasn't looking for physical activity. A year and a half or so ago, things that had been creeping up on me really crossed the line. The blood sugars were a little too high. The hypertension was a little higher than it had been. The cholesterol was a little higher than it had been. I carried a lot of weight in the abdomen. I work as a nurse case manager for a geriatric section at Boston University, and we have a whole host of patients who are living with metabolic syndrome. When I was diagnosed, I really felt as though I was staring into my own future. The doctor looked me in the eye and said, take the weight off and get active. We were at the point that where there was still a window where we could try diet and exercise first.
Good job. We're going to hold this for another 30 seconds.
I see the personal trainer 3 days a week for 45 minutes.
Two in, two out. Great job.
I recently bought a bicycle, and it's been probably 10 years since I've even tried to ride. Since I've begun exercising, I can feel muscles I had forgotten I owned. I'm able to bend in directions I couldn't bend in. I've lost about 70 pounds over the past year. I think it's a choice that every patient in my position faces, is whether or not they are willing to tackle this through diet and exercise, or are willing to go on medication, which can often mean multiple medications. My doctor had talked about an improved diet, less fat, more fiber, more protein. I use shakes for snacks and, you know, have two or three meals a day. Living with other people makes it very hard to do a diet like this. When my son pops a pizza into the oven and the garlic wafts through the house, it gets very hard. I've had a lot of support. My family has been wonderful. Our family uses any excuse to get together. This weekend we're having a cookout. The menu tonight is a little different than we would have thrown a year ago, when it would have been, burgers and chips. Today it's chicken, grilled vegetables. We'll do fruit on skewers. No more monkeys tumbling on the bed. I think that being diagnosed with metabolic syndrome can push home the idea that if you're not taking care of this, you may not be around for family as you would want to be. There is nothing about losing weight or becoming more active that is easy, but it's certainly worth the effort. And it can certainly be done.
Maureen made tremendous lifestyle changes to support her 70-pound weight loss. Not everyone can make that kind of a lifestyle change. She was ready.
I think it's also important to recognize that their multiple risk factors do need to be addressed, even if you're not able to implement so successfully a lifestyle change. Blood pressure, lipids, all of them need to be addressed. Diabetes.
We've had a great discussion today and covered a great deal of material, but what do you think are the key take-home points for our viewers?
Well, I think there are several. Number one, primary care providers should be more aggressive in treating earlier markers of disease and then act on it. The BMI and the waist circumference should be vital signs that are measured at least yearly. And then remember, diet and exercise first, and start slowly, especially in a sedentary patient who's eating a lot of fast food.
Remember that it's you and the patient against the disease. It's not you against the patient or prosecuting the patient. And be as specific as you possibly can in giving recommendations, vague recommendations. Eat less and exercise more. It's never helped anyone to lose weight. Don't hesitate to move into other areas, the medical aspects of their care, to try to make changes that can help them to do better in the long run.
I think you have to partner with your patient. Get the conversation started first. And I think you may want to take a targeted approach, kind of ABC approach, if you like, A1C for the glycemic goals of less than 7% at least, or blood sugar goals, B for the blood pressure control, as you want to get in these high-risk patients, often less than 130 over 80, and the lipid or cardiovascular risk control, not just LDL, but triglycerides and HDL as well. And if you need to, absolutely use the lifestyle, but don't forget, you need often multiple medications to achieve this. Don't develop goal fatigue. Get all the way to goal.
Well, in closing, I'd like to thank each of you for participating in today's discussion on cardiometabolic risk factors. And I'd like to also thank our viewers, and we hope the information presented today will help you to improve the management of your patients. Also, be sure to log on to your computer at discoveryhealthcme.com and take the post test. It's a quick, easy way to earn free CME credit just for watching the program. And if you'd like to review the program, you can watch it online, you can download a podcast, or order a free DVD. Now, also in addition, all the slides and references from the program are also available on the website. Finally, we'd like to thank the University of Virginia for accrediting the program, and also our thanks to Sanofi Aventis for the educational grant that made this program possible. For Discovery Health, I'm Rhea Blakey. See you next time on Discovery Health CME. A great deal of